Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery. And today, we're taking a little bit of a turn from what we normally talk about. We have a lot of episodes where we talk about sex and sexy things and politics. So this isn't that weird because we are talking about politics. But we often talk about preventing pregnancy. We did have one episode where we talked to Dr. Yvonne Fulbright about sexy times during pregnancy and how to be able to keep a sexual relationship going and keep feeling sexy even if you have a new baby, which is an episode you should check out if you're interested in that. But today we're talking about the politics of pregnancy and employment. So 35 years ago, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act was passed. And the effect of this was that it was no longer legal for employers to fire someone for being pregnant. If a woman started to show, or if she said, oh, I'm going to have a baby, it was perfectly legal before the PDA to fire her for that. This is obviously problematic because not only are women often able to work while pregnant, a pregnancy is a situation that specifically affects women. And one of the things that I want to make clear is that regardless of whether you want to have kids or definitely don't, I want you to, through the course of this conversation, this one-way conversation, to conceptualize pregnancy rights as being women's rights and thinking about this whole thing from a sex positive perspective, that by supporting pregnant employees' rights, you're supporting the same kind of thinking that supports disabled rights and that supports workers in general. So that's what we're talking about today. But specifically, Pregnancy Discrimination Act is 35. Wow. And right now there's discussion about the PWFA, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. So let's say you get knocked up and your needs for, you know, just being a person and going through the world are slightly augmented by that. Like, you might need more bathroom breaks. You might need to just keep a water bottle with you. Let's say you work at Walmart and Walmart has a rule that only cashiers can have a water bottle, and you're not a cashier. You work someplace else and you can't have a water bottle. You get fired, right? That's perfectly legal under the existing guidelines. However, the PWFA will work to treat pregnancy in the same way that we want to think about any other disability or injury. So if you work for a trucking company and truck drivers get injured and they sometimes get to make changes, they might get to work a different shift or a different route or work a different job for the same company. But a pregnant woman who has, you know, limitations on how much she can lift during a certain trimester is not entitled to the same legal protections right now. So if a dude pulls his back and he's normally a driver and now he has to do something else, perfectly fine to shift him over. But currently, legally, a woman who's got lower back issues for a temporary reason, which is a pregnancy, does not have the same legal protections. So we are conceptualizing pregnancy simply as a variation on your health that is temporary or permanent. I mean, a permanent disability deserves respect as well. But making accommodations for workers, because they're people, they're humans, and they ultimately should be more important all the time than thinking about bottom lines. So if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook or those sort of things, you've probably noticed I have a general tendency to get into arguments with people. I try to keep it as respectful as possible. So hopefully, if you and I ever fought, I was nice to you. Anyway, so I had a back and forth exchange yesterday with someone she considers herself pro-choice and a feminist. But I would say that ultimately, her stance is more like anti-natalist. She doesn't want to let the idea that you have to have kids, that kids are the norm, that procreating is, you know, the default stance everyone should take. She wants to subvert that idea, which is totally reasonable to me. If you choose to live child-free, that's totally your right. No one should, like, ask you a bunch of dumb questions or tell you they're going to change your mind. It should be just as acceptable as the idea that you won't have kids. The whole point of feminism is that your gender doesn't hold you back. You make your choices according to what you want. And that the whole point of the pro-choice stance is that we support you in your decision, whether it's my decision or not. That's where I'm coming from. So anyway, we had this discussion where I had started by saying even child-free people should support the PWFA, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, because what's good for women is good for women. What is good for specific women is good for all women. And part of being a feminist, in my vantage, is looking out for all women. So, you know, much as we don't want to just look out for white middle-class women's problems, and we also need to consider international women's issues and very young women's issues and very old women's issues and women of color and women who are queer, we include everybody. What's good for women is good for women. And that was my stake on this. So I was speaking to someone who held a different vantage. Again, she considers herself pro-choice and feminist, but ultimately is anti-natalist. And so we had this back and forth, and her perspective is, I guess, sort of more libertarian. The idea that, like, if you decide to breed, that's your responsibility. It's not your employer's job to coddle you if you feel like taking out time to go be a breeder. I understand that position. Surprisingly enough, I used to hold that position. When I was younger, and I felt very reactionary in my child-free wishes, I felt like the world being very natalist, it does definitely make everybody feel like having kids is the default. I felt like that's a totally reasonable stance. I don't want to have kids because that's my choice, and I don't want to have to be treated unfairly and not get the perks that you get because you decided to breed. So I totally got where she was coming from. Fortunately, when I held that view, I was taking a class, a women's studies class from a woman who just managed to squeeze into the conversation why I might perceive this differently. And she pointed out that when we do things that are specifically around gender, when we make laws, when we make rules that specifically apply to women that don't apply to men, that becomes a feminist issue. So pregnancy, as you hopefully know, requires more than one person, but really adversely affects women very differently. Obviously, not only the physical effects of being pregnant, but the expectations socially of what pregnancy and child rearing is going to do for your life. So let's take like a step back and look at what pregnancy and child rearing and having a family means to people. So recently, there was a study that came out where for the first time ever, when sociologists asked the question about having it all and what that meant, and they asked the subjects, what does it mean for you to have it all in your career and your life and all of the things? What does that mean for you? Men were more likely to say that having a happy, stable marriage was important than women did. And it was by probably 20 percentage points, I believe. And they also said that having kids was a part of that conception of having it all. I believe 83% of men versus 70-some percent of women. And so this is a pretty stark contrast. And the interesting thing is that they had literally never asked men this question before. This same study had been done repeatedly where they asked women about having it all, but had somehow forgotten to ask, what do men think having it all means? And so what does this disparity mean? Why do men think that family and marriage is a higher priority to having it all than women? Well, it's not that women don't take it seriously or that they don't want to have those things necessarily. It's that it's a really different commitment for a woman to make to agree to have kids. For a woman to agree to have kids really will affect her physical body more than it will affect a male partner's, and it will also affect her career dramatically differently than it will affect his. For her to make a decision to have a baby is to make sacrifices and take risks. And maybe she works for a place where she can do maternity leave. Maybe she makes enough money that she'll have round-the-clock childcare totally taken care of, and she won't lose a step in her career. She'll just take, like, 2 weeks off. I don't know. Whatever would be completely ridiculous. Maybe she thinks she can make it work. But for most people, it's going to require a little bit more time off. It's going to require budgetary things that are really challenging. And so for women to make the decision to go ahead and have a kid is different than it is for men. And that is why it matters. as a feminist issue. When we talk about parenting in general, we're still talking about a very gendered issue. And there are definitely stay-at-home dads who do awesome jobs, and there are definitely very involved fathers who pull their weights, and if not more so. And I want to give mad props to all of them and all the parents who do the stuff they're supposed to do and work their asses off. I don't know how you do it. That's part of why I don't have kids. And I don't want to diminish that at all. But when we're talking about stay-at-home parents, right now, there's about 23% of stay-at-home families where it's a mom. On the other hand, among all married couples with children under 15, only 0.8% include a stay-at-home dad. So we're still talking about an incredibly small number of people. So pregnancy, child-rearing, still ultimately very important as a female issue. And we want to empower dads to be able to do the stay-at-home thing. If it makes more sense for a partnership for a dad to stay home, then absolutely that should be an option. And we fully want to support that. But as we're talking about the law right now, as the population actually uses these things and makes the decisions about how to distribute childcare responsibility, ultimately it still is falling to women. And continuing to tie in those two pieces, when you know that the expectation most likely will be that the person who has to scale back their career, that the person who will likely take more time off of work, the person who will likely make those particular type of sacrifices is more likely to be female, that's why we have to look at employment issues as a female perspective. So why should this matter to you if you are a person who does not have kids, does not want kids? Valid question. Because why should it matter if we have elevators in buildings if you are not in a wheelchair? Because why should it matter if we have programs against discriminating on the basis of religion or ethnicity or country of origin if you are American and white? Because fairness is fairness. And basically, we don't want to fuck somebody over just because they made choices that we didn't make. And yet, ultimately, you could make the argument that, you know, breeding is a choice. Absolutely. But you have a much firmer place to stand in your idea of being feminist if you are doing things that support women's choices. And it's a much more solid ground to call yourself pro-choice if the choice is actually there. If the choice is don't have kids because fuck you, and you're on your own now, then it's not really supporting women's choices. You're basically saying you should make the choice that I made because I don't want to pay those bills, so yada yada yada. I understand, like, a general libertarian perspective of we're each on our own, you are responsible for yourself. But I want people to conceptualize that we're all basically in this together, and if we all consider things to be about humans versus bottom lines, we're going to come to not only more compassionate places, but also more consistently good for people and families, and that includes families that don't have kids. You're more likely to be able to get vacation time if we conceive of time off as being important and valuable for humans. It is better for all of us if we consider personal lives to be an important part of our employment. I think it would be helpful for the person that I spoke to on Twitter, I don't know, maybe if tubal ligation or vasectomies or other forms of permanent sterilization were completely covered by insurance as just choices that you make as a surgery rather than being like, you know, you have to have it for medical reasons. Maybe this whole thing would be conceived of differently if no matter what your choices were, they were treated equally as important. And I think in a world where people do assume that having kids is the default, you know, there's a tendency to be reactionary and to say, like, my tubal ligation didn't get paid for, or, you know, I don't get days off, you know, to go take care of my sick pets. Why do they get to leave early for their kids, etc.? It's totally fair to feel a little bit resentful for how child-free people get treated as less than and irresponsible and less grown up, etc. Totally understand that. But ultimately, if we all work together on this and we conceive of this through a bigger lens of treating human life of the living, people who are living and their lives as being intrinsically valuable, we might come to a better place for all of us.
So let's recap what we've talked about so far. So 35 years of the PDA, and we're now talking about a possible, there's not even necessarily like legislation moving right now for the PWFA, but we're just talking very broadly about the possibility of a sort of legislation that would ensure that someone who is pregnant is treated using the same sort of guidelines you would if someone had another physical handicap. And that's not to say that all pregnancies are the same and that all handicaps are the same. That abilities vary dramatically, and we just try to make accommodations as is reasonable for people. But my whole point, again, was to go back. You don't have to be into people having kids. You don't have to think that kids are awesome. You don't have to think that, you know, breeding should be the default belief for everybody. The expectation of your future should include kids. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that the world should cater to parents and that the world needs to revolve around raising their kids. I very commonly get in conversations where I talk about how the world does not need to be childproofed because parenting is hard. Parenting is hard, but that doesn't mean that an adult shouldn't be able to access, you know, pornography easily if they want to, because the world does not revolve around parents and doesn't necessarily have to. In this particular instance, the point that I would like to make to someone who might be viewing this through a lens of being in a position where the world does often take parenting more seriously than being child-free, that to not let that resentment, which is valid, overshadow your thinking about feminism and social justice issues as an overall idea. So just re-examining the concept of pregnancy law, rather than thinking about someone else getting an unfair advantage over you, thinking about how this might be a step towards everyone getting treated more humanely. So we as employees are considered people first and foremost, and employees as an important part of our lives, but it's not our primary function as a human. And when we look at countries where that is the norm, where we get more vacation weeks out of the year, where the expectation is that maternity leave is going to be longer, those sort of things, we find those countries have much better standards of living in all other ways. That people are more likely to be healthy lifelong, that they have better access to healthcare, because it's part of a whole system of like treating people as people rather than as sheer dollar signs. And the thinking that somehow looking out for pregnant people and giving them, you know, a chance that you don't get because they decided to have kids is way less productive than thinking about how can we make all of our jobs much better for all of us for all of our situations, so that when it comes up to a time where you need something, other people give a shit about you too, basically. So as always, I do want to hear back from you, so hit me up. You can tweet at me, TIMAREE_LEIGH. That's at Timaree Lee. You can hit me up on my Facebook wall or send me a private message if you prefer. Or as always, sexwithtimaree@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timaree. Sex with Timaree, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimaree.com, Sex with Timaree on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timaree_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.